Well, good morning. I'm excited about this morning. Good to see everyone. Everybody staying warm? Is it supposed to get cold again, I guess, right? Snow? You know, what's up with the snow? I'm not sure if it's going to snow or not again. Maybe so. Duana says yes. We'll see, right? It's South Georgia. It snows twice in here, man. We need to definitely get right with the Lord, don't we? It's the end of the world. Praise the Lord. Definitely want to pray for the Compassion House. Definitely we're asking God to raise up a leader. I went through a couple of John Maxwell courses on leadership, and I know about that much. But having leadership in those positions are key. You know, and it is a position. You know, in order for it to flourish and produce fruit. You know, and in any ministry, there must be someone leading and directing and managing and that sort of thing. So we want to just pray that if it is God's will that we continue that ministry, then God will raise up a leader. And that remember last week's sermon? It will not be out of guilt, because you want to see it keep going. It'll be because God burns it in your heart, and you'll have a passion for it, and it won't be a burden for you to come out and lead and recruit and manage the volunteers that come and go, right? And so let's pray God for, you know, that God will bring up a leader if that's His will for us to continue on that. God might want us to start using that energy and time and money into a different ministry that He wants, you know. So we're going to pray for His will to be done. Is that cool? Right? And also something I've been praying for is a children's director. Children's minister, children's pastor, whatever we want to call it. And so I just, you know, it's something I've been praying about, that God will bring us someone that could head up the children's director, like a children's director, children's ministry. Because I really want to focus in 2018. I feel that God's calling the Georgia Baptist Mission Board and Pauline Baptist to really focus on the children and the youth in 2018. Amen? So we really want to get organized about that. So last week we talked about the first chapter in Colossians, and went through verse 1 through 8, and then Sunday night we covered verse 9 and 12. So this morning God's got us right back into Colossians. So that's where we're going to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, as always, Lord, for the opportunity to come in this house, this building that we call Pauline Baptist Church. And we know that your house, the Holy Spirit dwells within us now. Well, Lord, we do appreciate this building with the heat and the air conditioning and comfortable chairs and pews. And I know that this morning we were talking about things that kind of reminded us of our first world problems. But Lord, we do have a nice church here, and we appreciate that. And thank you for giving us this place that we can come and fellowship. Lord, we don't have to worry about rockets and bombs and people busting in telling us we can't have church, Lord. Thank you for America. Thank you for a free country. Let us not ever, ever take that for granted. Lord, we can fellowship with each other and go to restaurants and hang out. Go to each other's homes and hang out and fellowship and learn, grow. And thank you, Lord, that we can do that in a free, free country. Father, I ask you to bless this word this morning. Lord, you know what you stirred up in my heart. And Father, give me the ability to share it, to teach it. I ask you to bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be back in Colossians chapter 1. This morning we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. Now, we're going to bounce in and out of these two scriptures. So if you want to follow along, I got a lot of scriptures to share with you, but we're going to focus on these two. We're going to dissect them and digest them and that sort of thing. So let me read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to take a look at these two verses. We're going to bounce in and out, so follow along with me. If you're taking notes, which I highly encourage you to take notes, you're going to forget about 70 or 80% of what I said this morning. As soon as you walk out that door, that's just what they say. Now, who is they? Pete, they's going to have to answer one day, aren't they? You know, they has a lot of things to say. But I really believe that. And I know the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword and dividing bone and marrow and gizzards and guts and all that. I know that. Okay, for sure. But just as human beings, you know, we forget. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to be students of the Word, to come in ready to take notes and highlight and underline. So here we go. He has delivered us. So we're looking at verse 13. He has delivered us. So if you look at that word delivered, in the Greek, that word delivered means to draw to oneself for the purpose of rescuing. So we take that word delivered, you look at it in the Greek, you look at the deeper meaning, which I really like to do that. I'm not trying to impress you. I can't speak Greek. I just look it up and ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to share with me the deeper meaning, and I look up that word. You can do the same thing at home with a nice concordance. Okay, delivered means to draw. Everybody say draw. To draw oneself for the purpose, to oneself for the purpose of rescuing. Now remember, Paul is talking to the Galatians. And he's trying to get them, he's trying to straighten them out from following along a bunch of paganism and back going back to the law. So Paul's trying to help them out and help them understand. Look, you've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, John 6:44, Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Here we have that word again, draw. So Jesus is telling us that no one can come to the Father unless he draws them. That's the Holy Spirit wooing people, drawing them in. Now, if you look at the Greek in that word, draw, in the book of John, that word in the Greek right there, the word draw means this. Check this out. It means to drag off. To draw by inward power. To lead, to compel deep within. Deep within, compel. It means to drag, like someone is, I've been drugged here. How many has ever been drugged by the Holy Spirit? I mean, you know the Holy Spirit was eating you inside, and he was. I've been drugged. I've been, definitely. It's kind of funny because, you know, most of you guys know I work at a drug treatment center, and a lot of times the clients will say, Dallas, said, you ever had a drug problem? I said, oh yeah, bad. You know, and I did. Had a drug problem pretty bad. Started around middle school. I was pretty good for a while, but got around middle school. That's where my drug problem started. When I get into high school, it got worse. The drug problem really got worse. I started rebelling and being defiant, and that drug problem got worse. Let me tell you what kind of drug problem it was. My mama drugged me to church. My mama drugged me to church in middle school. She drugged me to church. She drugged me to Sunday school. Amen? That's the kind of drug problem I had. They always go, oh, I'm so sorry. Seriously. You know? So, anybody's mama drug you to church when you're young? No? I'm the only one? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that word drag, the Holy Spirit is dragging. It's like drawing them. It's kind of like maybe this is a bad metaphor, I don't know, but it's kind of like if a house is caught on fire and it's really big fire over here and you got this, say, young boy or teenager or whatever, young man over here, and you're drawing him and say, hey, come over here. Come over here. Hey, come over here. I got the way out. I know the way out. It's like you're compelling them from deep down within you. And if you have to, you're going to do what? You're going to go over and lay hands on them, and you're going to drag them over to the safety. You're going to rescue them. And this is really what's going on in the scripture. He has delivered. He has drug you. He's drawn you. And he has delivered you from the power of darkness. Now, let's look at that verse, the second part of that, verse 13. It says, the power of darkness. If you look that up in the Greek, now you look that up and say, what does that power of darkness really mean? Here's what it means. It means blindness. Blindness. It means total ignorance to divine things. It means ungodliness. It means immorality. In other words, the world, the power of darkness has the world completely blind. Oh, once I was blind, but now I can see. Anybody know what I mean? Completely blind. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. And basically, this scripture is saying those who do not believe, the reason they don't believe is because they have been blinded. By who? Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. You see, guys, as believers in Christ, we have been set free from the kingdom of Satan. We have been delivered. Everybody say amen? We've been delivered. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, it says, and you, he made alive. And you, he made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, and which once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in those who are disobedient. We have been delivered from this. We have been made alive. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. It's talking to you. It's talking to me, your believer in Christ. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. This is the Word of God saying this. You are special. You're a special people, chosen generation, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Think about that. You're chosen. Young people, you are chosen. You are special in God's eyes. You are a chosen generation. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. Back to the verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us. Everybody say conveyed. Conveyed us. Okay, interesting word. Most of us know what it means, but I'm going to look it up. Is that all right? I'm going to look it up. Let's get a little deeper on this. Conveyed us. And this is really super cool for me. It was. Conveyed means to transpose. To transfer. Think about that now. Transpose. I pulled it up in the dictionary. Here it is. Ready? To cause two or more things to change places with each other. Wow. Y'all get that? I mean, that's transpose. Conveyed. He has conveyed us. He has transposed. He's changed places with us. Transferred. When I was studying this, the thing that came to me, and this might kind of be weird, so you have to forgive me, but the first part of my counseling career, I worked in a prison, and we had a drug treatment program inside of a prison. It was very successful, mainly because I was leading those men to the Lord, and they didn't know. But anyway, they thought it was their little curriculum. And seriously, we did. They do these prison transfers, you know. And I thought, in my mind, you know, I said, well, you know, I got a really bad guy, man. He's a really bad person. I don't want to go into details, but y'all know what I mean. A really bad person. He's in jail. He's sentenced to death. They was doing the prison transfer, transferred into a prison where they're going to do the you know, whatever they're going to do. Is this too graphic? No, I shouldn't. You know what I'm saying? He's got the death sentence or something, you know. He's riding wrong. And all of a sudden, you know, car, police pull up, you know, pull him over. Say, sir, guards, you know, you got to let this guy out. We got this guy over here. He says he's going to take his place. He's going to take his place. What? Oh, yeah. The judge already approved it. He's going to take his place. So they unshackle the inmate, get off the bus, and this innocent man comes walking up and says, I'm going to take his place. My father happens to be the judge, and he's already proved it. He's paroled this man. He's free to go. Whoa. Jesus took our place. He took our place. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ, who suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Hallelujah. Galatians 2:19-21, very famous verses for, one of my favorite verses for, I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Guys, I challenge you. If you don't know that verse, memorize it. Memorize it. This is powerful. I am not the old Dallas Bennett. Not even from yesterday. Especially last year or 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 40 years ago. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been transposed. Christ took my place on the cross. Been transferred to the kingdom of God. See that verse? Into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Let's spend a little time right there. Everybody with me still? Transposed, transferred to the kingdom of God, of the Son of His love. And I looked that whole up in the Greek, and I went this way, and I went that way, and I went this way. I said, oh my Jesus, it's going to take me 6 years to preach this one, right? But you know what? All that Greek thing and all that looking that stuff up, it came up to one thing only. It is Jesus. Jesus, the King with the Son of His love, the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's all about Jesus. This is referring to the Jesus' kingdom. And you know what? God loves Him. God loves Jesus. He loved him as in his earthly bodysuit, right? And he loves him now. And the Father is pleased with Jesus. And the Father loves you. And he is pleased with you through Christ. You know, remember Matthew 17? Everybody remember that? I don't want to go into that too much. But Jesus, you know, talks to Peter and James and John up on a high mountain. Remember when they were all alone, something amazing happens, didn't it? It says, all of a sudden, God gives Jesus an appearance of glory. And in verse 2, it goes on to say, His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. Then verse 5 says, a bright cloud overshadows them. And God speaks from the cloud, and He says, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And he adds on, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. This is what Peter says in 2 Peter 17, Christ received honor and glory from God the Father. God gave the disciples a brief glimpse of the true heavenly glory of Jesus. Amen. And then God reveals, remember we're talking about kingdom of the Son of His love. God reveals His heart for the Son and says two things. This is my beloved Son. You know what he said? He says, I love my son. God loves you, Trish. God loves you, Tammy. You know? Bill, God loves you. And the second thing he says is, with whom I am well pleased. In other words, he says, I take pleasure in my son. Right? God loves to hear you laugh, Miss Clara. He does. God loves you. He is pleased with you. Christ died on the cross, the old rugged cross, that blood that flowed down cleanses us as white as snow. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, which is basically Matthew quoting Isaiah 42:1, says, behold, my servant whom I have chosen. Think about that. My beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. See, the Hebrew word for that, well pleased, is, I'm not even going to try to say it, but it means to delight in. To delight in. Amen? He is well pleased with his son. He is well pleased with you. Do you think that God sees you this way? Do you? Do you think God sees you this way? Ephesians 5:8. Here it is, ready? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. For once you were darkness. So he delivered us from the power of darkness. He transferred us into the kingdom of God, into Jesus. He says, now you're a light in the Lord. And it goes on to say, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. See, we're now children of God. We have been adopted into his family, like Tammy said the other day, wasn't it? Some Wednesday night. We are no longer children of the devil. We are no longer children of the darkness. We are children of light. We have now been washed in the blood of Jesus. So let's go on to verse 14. Okay? Verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you look up that we have, just look up that word we have, it means this. It means to hold on to in our mind as we're wearing it. Doesn't that sound familiar? I'm going to say it again. When it says we have, right there, see, we have, it means to hold on to in our mind as if we're wearing it. Now we wear our clothes, right? Obviously, I hope most of you do. You know, we wear our clothes and, you know, and we get up each day and we pick up our cross daily and follow him. We wear it in our mind. Proverbs 3:3, first thing it reminds me of. Proverbs 3:3, you ready? Let not, everybody say let not. Okay? Let not mercy and truth forsake you. It says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Amen? In other words, every day when we pick up our cross daily and follow Jesus, don't forget, in your mind, that's where the real battleground is anyway, right? In our mind, don't forget his mercy and the truth. The truth is you are saved and born again. If you are, right? I'm talking, you know, you're a child of God. You've been delivered and set free from the power of darkness. Don't forget that mercy and that truth. Bind them around your neck. Verse 14 goes on, says, we have, and it uses the word redemption. Now, most of us know what that word means. Redemption means a release. It means a release or being liberated from. basically because a payment was made for ransom. Someone made this payment, and that person that was enslaved has been redeemed. They have been released. Doesn't that paint the picture of what really happened? Redemption means to be free. A ransom is something that is paid to provide for the release of someone that was held captive. Everybody glad to be free? Jesus paid our ransom. He paid the price. We're free from sin, death, hell, eternal separation from God. Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Christ died to set them free, to set us free from the penalty of sins. See, we had to. The law of Moses, we couldn't live up to it, could we? That sacrifice had to be made. Jesus paid the ransom. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now that word forgiveness is always associated with the blood of Christ. God does not, everybody listen closely, he does not just randomly or sentimentally forgive our sins. It's not just a kind thing that he did for us. Those sins were paid for with a price. And he literally forgives our sins and casts them as far as the east and west to the bottom of the sea. Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. It says he will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. In Psalms 103:12, which is a memory verse this week, I want to thank Eli and Ben for memorizing the memory verse for the week. They came running up to me and said, I got that one. So I'm going to wait for Glenn to come running up next week. So anyways, this is the memory verse of the week, Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. See, guys, God loves us. He loved us when we were in our worst place, doing our worst stuff. He loved us so much that he gave his son to suffer and endure the crucifixion. Jesus took that assignment and he lived a sinless life. He chose to die on the cross, and God raised him from the grave on the third day. In Colossians 1:13-14, I'll read it again. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. He is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, isn't he? How can we be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle? It's not by something that we do, is it? It's not by something that we do. It's all about Jesus. It's all about his sacrifice on the cross. It's all about God's mercy and his love for us. It's about God's grace. We're saved by grace through our faith in Christ. That's the only thing we can say when he comes back for that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We just have to say, I put everything in Jesus and what he done on the cross for me. Have you been delivered from the power of darkness? Have you been transferred to the kingdom of light? Have your sins been forgiven by placing your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross? The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. If not, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. So if you're here today and you've never made that decision and you'd like to, we're going to do a song of invitation and you can come down and I'll be glad to pray with you, or one of our men will be glad to pray with you. If you'd like to join our church today, if you'd like to be baptized, God's been stirring you up about you want a water baptism, I'm ready to crank up some water. We're going to baptize some folks this year. Well, I'll go get rebaptized. Thank you, Jesus. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you are our Redeemer, and that we are set free. And Father, there's one here, Lord, I ask that you draw them, that you'll drag them. That inner, way deep down, that you draw them to the cross. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray. Amen.